Welcome to day two of 10X Handyman Hacking Live. And today we're going over the Blue Ocean Strategy and more.
Tools that you need to start your handyman business and much, much more. But before we go into it, I just want to talk about yesterday where we talked about residential versus commercial handyman services. Are you going to do handyman services that are to customers that live in a home, or are you going to do commercial services that it's business to business? So are you going to do your handyman business to residential companies, the homeowners, or are you going to do a handyman business that is business, your handyman, to another business? Those are two different types of handyman business. And then what kind of services are you going to provide as your handyman business? We talked about 30 different handyman businesses to create a niche so that you can not have to worry about competition in the handyman business, from hanging stuff on the wall to furniture assembly to garage and attic organization or storage, TV, wall mount handyman business, fence repair and building, door repairs, sprinklers, drywall repair, tile repair, and roof repair. Are you going to specialize in one of those and build your handyman business around it? Instead of being the jack of all trades and the master of none, you go after a target business. You don't just say, I'm a home repair and a home improvement business. That encompasses everything, and you're not going to be able to manage it, and you're going to have cranky customers. So what is your niche in your handyman services? Another thing is that you want to know the different licensing that's available for your city and your state to become a handyman. They are all over because they're it's state and city regulations. It's not like a national law that all handymen have to do this and this is what you do to start a business. No, you need to know what the licensing is for your state. We talked about Texas, California, Maryland, Minnesota, and New Mexico. So what are the specifics? Now, within Texas, there's city regulations, like around the city of Houston. After Harvey hit, they implemented a bunch of laws, so it's difficult to be a handyman in those areas and stay within the regulations. Then, what are you going to name it? What are you naming your handyman business? Something very, very important for you to do before you can go that step further. Now, today we're going to talk about a blue ocean strategy and a red ocean strategy. We're also going to discuss how to create a business roadmap or a business plan, but I'm going to break it down into a few steps that makes it much easier for you. We're also going to talk about how to develop your pricing as a handyman service and then YouTube IOG. Didn't know there was a course on that, did you? So, first things first, not everyone is going to be your customer. So you have to define your ideal customer. You don't have deep enough pockets to go after Amazon or Walmart people. They're marketing towards everyone, right? You don't have deep enough pockets to go after the Mr. Handymans of the world or Ace Handyman Services. They got deep pockets. They can go after everyone. You, I assume, have a limited budget. That's why you're on here. You can start a handyman business for low cost or no cost. I started my handyman business with a $40 ad in the newspaper and built it into a handyman empire. So not everyone is your customer. Now, when we first started in the handyman business 10 plus years ago, we didn't understand this. We would market towards everyone. We thought everyone could use our services. And you know what? We got some bad reviews. We got some cranky customers. I thought everyone could hire us. And our price point was low. I think when we began in the business, it was about $25 an hour that we charged. Because of this, we sold ourselves short in the handyman business. Finally, we learned our lesson. We're kind of thick-headed. We paid a lot in the stupid tax, but we lowered our rates where we needed to. So when we would send one handyman out for $25 an hour, sometimes we would send two handyman out for the $25 an hour. That's not a good fit to go after everyone for the price. Sometimes customers just want the lowest price guy to get the job done. The lowest price guy is usually out of business within 1 to 2 years. You can't compete with Jose from down the street that's charging $10 an hour. You don't want those customers. We want customers that don't mind paying the premium prices for premium services. Also, you need to limit where you go to your customers. You don't want to be driving 40 to 60 minutes away, having customers that are 40 and 60 miles away. You want the best of the best customers. You want customers who aren't going to be Karens. You want customers who aren't going to nitpick you and are going to pay you when the job is finished. You want a customer who will move on with their lives when you're done. There is profit to be made with customers who have money and can afford your services and are kind and understanding. I can't stress this enough. You have to target the right customers or you're going to get the wrong ones every single time. And the wrong customer can ruin your day, your week, your month, and you could be out of business rapidly with the wrong customers. Let the wrong customers go to Julio down the street in a truck. You don't want Julio's customers, those ones that nickel and dime you to death and complain about everything. You'll be much happier when you figure out who your ideal customer is and what you're offering. I know the majority of you aren't going to listen to this advice in 10X handyman hacking. That's okay. You could pay this stupid tax also. It could cost you tens of thousands of dollars and decades of your time. But I want this to work for everyone and you not have to struggle and to get into the handyman business and stay in the handyman business. It's hard to run a business. It is not all roses and butterflies and unicorns. You want to financially be stable after starting a business and emotionally be stable. You want to work for the right people. Spend 10 or 15 minutes today thinking about who you want your ideal customer to be so that you can avoid frustration and your success path will 10x be accelerated by choosing the right customers to work with. One thing that really helped me figure out who I wanted to work with is reading the book Red Ocean versus Blue Ocean. I think it's Blue Ocean Strategies, the name of the book. I apologize. The author, I do have the author right here, is Chan Kim and Renee Mauborn. Oh, I said her name wrong. I apologize, Renee. This is a great book to read when you're starting a business. So the Red Ocean is like exactly what it sounds like. It is a feeding frenzy in the market. When I started my handyman business in Waco, Texas, 10 short years ago, there was 3 handyman businesses before we started. Handy Rob. There's a guy named Gary. I can't even remember the name of his business because he went out of business pretty quickly. And there was a Wooden Thumb. Like, that's it. There was just 3. And this funny thing happened in Waco, Texas. After we started our business and we were rapidly successful and we started franchising within 5 years. Those franchises failed. Thank you, COVID. It taught me so much. I'm so better at what I do because of that. So there were three handyman businesses. When I finally sold that business, there was 750 handyman in Waco, Texas. There was three, and within a 10-year period, it went to 750 handyman. How did that happen? Well, we call it in Waco, Texas, the fixer-upper effect. The fixer-upper effect means that Chip and Joanna Gaines, thank you, they saved Waco from themselves. They had this show called Fixer Upper on HGTV. So people just started opening these handyman and remodeling businesses all over town. The majority of them weren't successful, and they're probably going to go out of business because they just did it for the money. So there became this feeding frenzy within the first 5 years of opening our handyman business in Waco because of the fixer-upper effect and the spotlight on home remodeling and fixing up your house because of the show on HGTV. So it was this blue ocean, even though there was three handymen and then we came in there. So there was four. Then the show came on and there was 750. So I thought, I need to fix what I'm doing really, really quick. So we started going after the blue ocean of handyman services. We looked at the existing market share that the red ocean that was within that. We knew we couldn't compete with the prices of a guy in a truck from down the street because we were a professional handyman service. That means we have people answering the phones. We have people that are estimators that go out and estimate the work. And then we had contractors that went and did the work. So we couldn't beat them on price because we were kind of the middleman in the business. So we couldn't really beat the competition. And plus, there were guys in Waco charging $10 or $15 an hour for handyman services. The Red Ocean also exploits the demand. They know that there's a huge demand for handyman services or fixing up the house in Waco, Texas. Because about 50% of the town was just run down. So you have to also know that they're just competing on price. They're not competing on value. So that's one thing that we looked at also. And we saw where the industry was in Waco, Texas. And we had to change it. Now, the blue ocean strategy in the handyman service means that we create this uncontested market space. That's why when we were talking about different services to do as a handyman service, if you put yourself as the wall, the TV mount guy in your town, and all you do is TV mounts, and maybe you hang stuff on walls too, you can market towards people that specifically are wanting TV, their TVs mounted on walls. Maybe they're going to buy new TVs at Best Buy or Walmart or wherever. You're creating uncontested market space. You've got 750 handyman over here that are doing a jack of all trades, but you have one guy that's doing TV wall mounting services. They're not going to go after the 750 guys if they know that they've got to get their TV mounted on the wall. Maybe you charge $199 per TV to mount them. You then make the competition absolutely irrelevant. These 750 handyman that are marketing their business in the Red Ocean strategy are marketing drywalling, appliance repair and carpet installation and painting and drywall fixes. Like, they are competing on price. They're not going to compete with you as the TV wall mount guy because you're going to make your competition irrelevant because you're going to add more value than anybody over here. They're going after the jack of all trades, 100 different services that they do, whereas you're the TV wall mount guy. We'll just call you Mr. Wall Mount. How about that? Mr. TV Wall Mount. And you charge $199, but when you go there, you don't just mount it on the TV. You add some value. So maybe you give them a brief description of things they can do with their TV wall mount. Like they can change the way that it moves. Another thing that you could advertise to add more value is you clean up afterwards and you haul away the trash from their new TV and the wall mounting thing. So you actually are adding more value to that $199 price. Well, Christy, I already knew that. I don't have to tell them that. No, you have to create more value than those 750 other handyman that are the jack of all trades. You were the TV wall mount guy. Dr. TV wall mount, how are you going to add more value? And how is your price at $199 better than me hiring Julio from down the street that's going to do it for, you know, $40 because it's going to take him 4 hours, whereas it's going to take you 15 minutes and you charge $199, but you add all this value. So you've created kind of a blue ocean strategy to your marketing when you've niched down and now you know who's your ideal client. Also, it's not a guy that has a hole in the wall, right? It is a guy and a gal that want to mount their new TV for maybe the Super Bowl or maybe, you know, football, NFL season. So you're making your competition absolutely irrelevant. You're creating and capturing new demand specifically for TV wall mounts. You don't just sell to your customers. You're also telling them how to do the TV wall mount. But if you have a woman like me that's seeing that advertising, I don't want to mount a TV. I'm going to pay somebody to do it. But I want to make sure they're background checked. They're coming into my home. They're bonded. I want to make sure they're insured so that if they drop that $3,000 TV, that it's covered, right? I also want them to clean up after themselves. And I also, here's another big one, hiding the wires so that they're just not hanging down from the TV or they're not hanging down from any of the AV system. Those are adding value. It's things that you probably already do, but now you're advertising it. A regular 750 handyman, they're not going to do any of that, but you could add more value. It's kind of this cost trade-off. I would pay more for that guy to come into my house and install my, you know, 89-inch TV. I don't even know if they make those, but if they did an 89-inch TV, maybe they caulk around the holes or something like that. Something that it costs you very little, but it's huge to the customer. You've got this break value cost trade-off. Whereas that guy might charge $40 or $50 to install it, the 750 jack of all trades in your area. But the one doctor of TV wall mounting, let me tell you what we do for you. Let me tell you why we're the best. It is a value trade-off. That guy, the $40 guy doesn't clean up after himself. The $40 guy doesn't hide the wires on the wall. The $40 guy doesn't clean up. The $40 guy doesn't haul away things. So you align the system and the pursuit of differentiation and not cost in the Blue Ocean strategy. Now, the Blue Ocean strategy is more theoretical than black and white on paper. So what that means is some strategic models in the Blue Ocean strategy is based on theories, and you might not have black and white proof. So you have to go out there and test them, but it's worked over and over and over again for big wigs in business like Chick-fil-A. They didn't go after everyone in business that wanted fast food. No, they specifically went after people that wanted chicken sandwiches. So they've got a Blue Ocean strategy. Blue Ocean strategy originated from a study that took place over a 10-year period of time, and they analyzed the successes and the failures of multiple companies over 30 different industries. It's based on pure data instead of unproven ideas. Now, another thing with the Blue Ocean strategy is that it totally makes the competition absolutely irrelevant. Nobody He's looking at the 750 other handymen that are the jack of all trades to mount that TV. With a blue ocean strategy, they're coming from to Dr. Handyman or Dr. TV Mount, whoever it may be, right? Whatever the name of your business is. So you make the competition absolutely irrelevant. You outperform the competition because you're using a marketing strategy that those other 750 jack of all trades aren't utilizing. You don't have to look at the competition, study everything that they do, and go in $5 less than they are. Your aim is to redraw the industry and their boundaries for them to just look at you in your niche market so that only you come up. You've created a new space within the industry, making the other handymans in the industry completely irrelevant. Number four, there's the differentiation and low cost can coexist. You can have that guy that does the wall mount for $40 or $50. You can't compete with him because you're adding so much value until you take care of your customers. They can coexist, but you're making the competition absolutely irrelevant when you're adding more value than anybody in your competition. You don't have to choose between differentiation and low cost. They can coexist. If you can look at what customers do to value your services and then rethink about how you revalue those services, both can be achieved. This is called value innovation. Now, you also have a framework to test these different ideas. The Blue Ocean Index is a strategy, and it lets companies have this commercial visibility of ideas. The process helps you to redefine and identify opportunities which are potential, minimizing the risk in getting into the handyman business. Now, a couple examples of companies that have used the Blue Ocean strategy are Netflix. This is a David versus Goliath kind of story with Netflix. You had Blockbuster, number one franchise in the country, hundreds, possibly thousands of stores. And Netflix, a no-name company, demolished them. They changed the industry, and now they're streaming everywhere. People don't even use DVDs anymore. People don't even use CDs anymore. Rather than trying to compete, Netflix reinvented watching movies and watching TV commercial free and streaming it. Blockbusters was offered the opportunity to buy Netflix at one point and kind of laughed at them. Then they were offered it a second time and kind of laughed at them. And now Blockbuster has one store left. There's actually a documentary on Netflix about Blockbuster being annihilated by Netflix. It's a good watch. Total change in the industry. They used the Blue Ocean strategy to do that. Uber destroyed the taxi industry. Uber destroyed the taxi industry. In 2009, Uber hits the market. 2022, when I'm making this video, there are independent taxi companies. But if you're going to go somewhere, you don't call a taxi, you call an Uber. It is actually a verb now. Demolished. They created a niche market, and now Uber has an annual revenue just 10 short years later of $11 billion. with a B dollars. It's also a great documentary about Uber. Another one is iTunes. Before iTunes, they created their entire category, right? Facebook, also known as Meta now, also created their own blue ocean, making the competition absolutely irrelevant. MySpace isn't around anymore. So that is what a blue ocean strategy is. Now, not everyone is your customer. Know that with the blue ocean strategy. If you're working for anybody, you're really working for nobody. Never lower your rates to get a customer. It's just not worth it. They're going to be the biggest pain in the ass customer you ever have if you lower your rates for them. You want to design your business to go after your ideal customer. But also keep in mind, in the back of your mind, this quote by Henry Ford. If I asked my customers what they wanted, they would have said they wanted a faster horse. Think about that quote by Henry Ford. Sometimes the customers don't know what they want. If Uber would have asked us, do you want to get in the back of somebody's car that's a stranger and ride with them to an event? Oh, we would have said no. Netflix, if they would have mentioned us 10, 12 years ago to stream, we might have been like, what is that? 20 years ago, what's the internet? So keep that in mind when you are building a business for your ideal customers. Also target the right customers. It's going to save you a lot of headaches. You want to work with customers that you enjoy working with. You want customers that are going to give you repeat handyman business. And you, my ideal customer, I actually have a picture of them on the wall I'm looking at right now. It's Michael and Holly. I know them better than they know themselves. I know where they spend their money. I know what they do. I know their kids' name. I know where their kids go to school. I know what zip codes that they are going to. So you have to know your ideal customer and create this blue ocean. The second thing that you need to do from today is to create a roadmap for your business. What do you want? I want you to think out. I want you to dream. What is your big, hairy, audacious goal? If money were no object, what would your business provide for you in every aspect of your life? What would it provide for you career-wise? What would it provide for you financially? What would it provide for you personally? What would it provide for your family? Would you volunteer? Would you have contribution? Would you grow as an individual? What kind of house would you live in? If time, money, nothing was in your way, what would your ideal business and life look like? What does it look like? This is your dream, so go as big as you want. Big, hairy, audacious goal. Is it to just provide and do enough and pay your mortgage and have a little extra? Or do you want to own 1,000 acres and run a ranch? What do you want? What does your ideal day look like? Where do you live? What do you do with your time? Do you contribute? Who's there with you? Is it you and your significant other? Is it just you? Is it your family? Do you have best friends that you'd like to bring along on this journey? What is it? What about the health of your life? What about the communities you're involved in? What about the spirituality? What is your big, hairy, audacious goal in every area of your life? Write it down. Bring it back then when you're creating this business roadmap. Now, the reason I'm saying personal mixed in with business, because your business financially is going to provide you a lot of things, a lot of freedom, flexibility, and big profits if you do it right. So you need to know what you're going to do with those things, because the majority of people spend more time planning out their 2-week vacation every year than they ever do on their life. more people spend more time on their goals every day or on planning their dinner every day than they ever do planning their life. So you have so much that you can accomplish when you actually plan out your business and plan out your life. So what's your big, hairy, audacious goal? Then let's bring it back. In the next 1 year, what do you want to accomplish in your business in all those areas that you talked about? But when you're doing this part of the exercise, you need to remember backwards. Humans, it's very hard for us to imagine forward, but it's easy to remember backwards. So when you're doing this, remember backwards. Like, we got together on October the 6th of 2023. What have you accomplished in your business? Do you have a $100,000 business? Do you have a $1 million business? Do you have a business that's only done 15K? What have you done? And then we want to talk about the here and now. Where are you in your life now? We need feeling words. Are you happy? Are you sad? Are you joyous? Are you broke? What does your life look like now? Do you have great relationships? Maybe you haven't started your business. Also, I want to go back to the positive impossible right quick. How is it going to feel once you've accomplished those? Maybe you get $3,000 in the bank in savings and you've made 40K over the year. These are not income guarantees. I'm just giving examples. Where are you a year from today? I need those feeling words in this piece too, because as humans, when we go from the here and now to where we want to be in a year in our business, we are pulled forward to that, but we have to work on it to get there. Also, I want to talk about your tribe. Are you around a bunch of negative Nellies? Does your mom tell you you're never going to make it? Does your dad say you're a failure? Does your husband say you're an idiot? Does your wife say you're impossible to do things? You need to talk about your tribe. And you want to share what you want to do with the people that are positive in your tribe. And try to negate the time that you spend with those negative Nellies. Also, this is a long journey to go from not having a business to building a handyman business. What makes you stronger? What makes you stronger mentally? What makes you stronger physically? What makes you stronger at home? What makes you stronger in your relationships? What's going to make you stronger in business? Are you very focused? I also want to talk about perfection in this piece, because people will say, well, when it's perfect, I'm stronger. Perfection is the enemy of profitability. Just do it. Take the leap and just do it. Then you go within the next 2 weeks and you write down the things that you need to do to get that 1 year from today. So things that need accomplished in the next 2 weeks to get you towards you where you want to be in 1 year. Do you need to form your LLC? That's going to make you stronger. Do you need to get business insurance? That's going to make you stronger. Do you have your EIN in your business? That's going to make you stronger. You're going to feel good. The IRS isn't going to come after you when you're reporting taxes. Do you have a checking account? Do you have a business account? Do you have liability insurance? Do you have software? Do you have a coach to help you in your handyman business? They need to be action-oriented. If you need to get a coach to show you how to build a 6 or 7 figure handyman business, I join Handyman Business Fundamentals on October the 6th, 2023. And you take that leap of faith. What is it that's going to get you to where you want to be? Now, the next thing is you've got to set up pricing for your handyman business. You need to know what you're going to charge before you take it a step further. So what are you going to charge? You don't want to be the lowest price around. You can't compete. But before we answer that question, how much are you going to charge? Let's talk about the bigger question that most people going into business ask. How much money can you make as a professional handyman service? It may surprise you, but when I had an appointment with my attorney to plan my business over the next year, he looked at my numbers from last year and said, you made double what I did last year with your handyman business. I should have been a handyman instead of an attorney. My accountants can't believe how much we make in the handyman business. The majority of handyman businesses make about $26,000 a year. But if you do it the right way and you don't dabble in business and you go all in and you just do it, you can make 6 and 7 figures in profits. and have freedom and flexibility in your life. This is not an income guarantee by any means. But handyman services can charge anywhere from $10 an hour, which we see all the time, right? $10, $20 an hour, up to $200, $300, $500 an hour, depending on where you're located. But typically, the majority of handyman services for one handyman charge about $100 to $200 an hour. Now, this might be surprising to some of you, but if you set it up properly, you can make a big income with your handyman business. If you get a good grasp on the financials of a handyman business, the things that are essential in your rates and never lowering those rates and going after a target market, it could tremendously change your business. So starting the handyman business, one thing that you need to work on is the psychology and the limiting beliefs that you could have going into this business. And remember one thing, you're not the customer. I wouldn't pay $200 for a handyman service to come to my home. I'm not my ideal customer. My husband's handy. My friends that are handy. Get over those limiting beliefs. And you're not the customer. The customers will pay you to do what they're wanting you to do. So deciding what to charge could be one of the most difficult things in starting the business because of those limited beliefs that are involved. Now, consider your experience level. If you've never hung a TV mount, you need to become an expert if you're gonna charge $199 for 15 minutes of work. If your TVs at home aren't mounted on the walls, mount them. Take before and after pictures. Go to your mom and dad's house and hang some TV mounts. Your brother, your sister, your best friend. And get yourself to an expert level. If you do something for an hour a day for 3 years, you then become an expert. Work effectively. Look at your experience. Think about your ability to sell, your reputation, and a professional appearance. If you're charging $100 or $200 an hour as a professional handyman and you're wearing a stained-up t-shirt and sweatpants, you're probably not going to get that bid. You need to understand what to charge, how to look the part of what you're charging and actually turn it into a profit for the service that you're providing. You need to have the cojones to charge that much. Self-doubt can creep in here. You have to have the ability to start with it and fake it till you make it. I know, I hate that saying. I hate that saying, I do. But you have to in the handyman business. Dress the part, add more value. And act like you've done it a million times when you go in there for the asking. Don't worry. That's what every other handyman has done when they've started their business. It's what every other business owner does. They fake it until they make it. But here's the deal. The problem's already been solved. You know what you need to do. You don't have to just pick a number out of the air based on what your family and friends think. Don't listen to them, by the way. Do not overcharge. Nothing against your friends and family, but they probably aren't your ideal customers. So their opinions in this matter don't matter. When I was going into the handyman business, my mother was urging me to go back to school and get a master's degree in counseling and urging my husband to be a math coach teacher because he's really good at math. If we would have done that, we would have added a couple thousand dollars to our bottom line every year. We wouldn't be able to have our dreams come true. They told me not to start the business. Now, I'm going to tell you, I've went through some hell over the last 10 years. Started handyman businesses, sold handyman business, franchised handyman businesses, went bankrupt 3 years ago, from the handyman business, from my best friend that stole money from me. I'm sorry, misappropriated funds. You stolen. Misappropriated funds. And I got beat up. I mean, tore up online because of the choices that my husband and I made and our other business partners made. It's been hell. But man, I live a life that most people will only dream of now. I get to stand up paddleboard every day. I get to coach other businesses, which I love. I get to hang out with my husband every night. And if my kids call me and say, can you pup sit your grand puppy? I say, yes. Can you come and get this for me and bring it to work? Yes. Freedom and flexibility I never had in that JLB. And if I need to go and take care of a friend, I can. I have this amazing freedom and flexibility. So keep that in mind before you ask other people what you should charge. Don't listen to people that know nothing about business, and don't listen to people that aren't your ideal customers. Now, you want to be a handyman. You want to be Dr. TV mount guy or Dr. Hangout guy or the guy everybody calls to build the pergola or the guy that does the outdoor kitchens in your area or the guy that is the ceiling fan guy, the fence repair guy, right? But I don't really know how to do that, Christy. I've never done it before. I've only done it, you know, for my family and friends. I've never done it professionally. What do I do? Google-ology or YouTube-ology. Everything is online. You can learn how to do it simply by watching videos. How did my husband become a good saltwater fisherman? YouTube. How does my husband know everything that's going on with this car racing thing? YouTube. How do I find the best places to go when I'm traveling somewhere? YouTube. If I don't know how to do something, I go to YouTube or Google. And that's how we started our business. Our first pergola we built 10 years ago. My husband has never built a pergola. Now we've built thousands of them, and he learned it from YouTube. How he learned to build a carport? YouTube. How do you learn to build a deck? He built a deck 25, 30 years ago with his family, and then he built it for family and friends. That's how I learned that. It wasn't from YouTube. But you can also go to trade schools and learn carpentry. You can go to trade schools and learn electrical. You can go to trade schools and learn HVAC. You can go to trade schools and learn drywall and painting. There's so many different ways to do it. There's so much online learning. You just have to do it. Get off your butts and learn something new. Quit Netflix and chilling and YouTube and earn money. The life you're leading today is because of the choices that you have made. If you want a better life, you have to make better choices. With your free time, build a business instead of like rotting your brain on TV and watching the new Dahmer documentary for 300 hours over a two-day period, right? You can make money with what you're doing. You might not be entertained, but you'll make more money. What is your life about? Just do it, man. Now, another thing I wanted to go over is the tools that you might need for your handyman business. Now, if you are just starting a wall mounting, TV wall mounting company, you need a tool belt and you need all the things to mount a TV. Inexpensive. You could probably do it for less than $100. But here's some things that you might need for a handyman business. Now, those of you that get into handyman business fundamentals, we've got a complete list for you. But those are a few things that the average handyman might need to build their business. Now, I want to talk to you just a little bit today about handyman business fundamentals. What is handyman business fundamentals? Well, handyman business fundamentals is a program that I created when we went from bankruptcy to building a handyman empire. We were building from experience. We weren't building from zero. So I wrote everything down that we did to relaunch our companies. And this is my hubby. And you can start your handyman business and build it into six figures or more within just 90 days. Now, during today's web class, I'm going to teach you how I instantly started my handyman business and beat the competitors and ethically steal all the clients in your market. Is it okay if I take about 5-10 minutes to tell you a little bit about handyman business fundamentals? Give me a thumbs up. A like. All right, I'm starting to get some thumbs up. I'm going to go. So, May 6th, 1965, it was a cloudy, warm day. And Roger Bannister was getting ready to run a mile in this race. He gets up there to the starting line, and in his mind, he wanted to beat every competitor there. And on May 6th of 1965, he did something that everybody thought was impossible up until this point. To run a 4-minute mile. To run 1 mile in 4 minutes. Never been done. On May 6th of 1965, Roger Bannister did just that. Took the impossible and it made it possible. And just 46 days later, John Landry beat that time that Roger Bannister had done. He took away the impossible for the 4-minute mile and it said, I'm possible. And now John Landry has beaten it and tens of thousands of other people have beaten that 4-minute mile since then. Now, my 4-minute mile happened on October the 16th of 2014. That's when we hit seven figures in our handyman business for the first time within the first full year of doing business. And since then, I've helped others to achieve that 4-minute mile in the handyman business and get to six figures. Now, who's this for? It's for handymen that want to start a handyman business, and it's for people that want to scale their handyman business. And when you stay until the end of this challenge and you watch all of the videos, I'm going to give you a complete form to get your handyman business up and running within the next 90 days. Why am I qualified to teach this? I 10x my handyman businesses over and over and over again. I sold multiple handyman businesses all throughout the state of Texas and beyond. I've actually sold in many other states. I've franchised my business. I've scaled the business. I've went bankrupt and I've rebuilt it within the last 2 years. You can build a handyman business that has freedom, flexibility, and big profits without working day and night and missing out on family activities. Now, I tried other things. I tried and failed, but that handyman business fundamentals is what really works. We took a $40 ad in a throw paper 10 years ago and worked out of our garage and built a seven-figure handyman business. Now, my husband, before we did this, was a Harley Davidson mechanic. He was a service writer and a serviceman. We were just over broke when he was doing that job, and I was a service coordinator. But we wanted to take control of our lives and make sure our family was taken care of. Do you remember me telling you yesterday about my grandma and how I didn't get to go say goodbye? And how that was the one regret that I really had in life? Before I left my job, I had to have some certainty. I had to make sure that we had insurance on the family, that the business was insured, that we were taken care of financially. Now, just over broke is not certain, but with a business, I have control of my life. And the framework that we created to have this happen is handyman business fundamentals. Now, the first time around, when I built this ginormous handyman empire, I did it with the wrong people, people that just wanted to latch on to Christy and Max and make money. But we realized in that process after bankruptcy, there was a different way to do it. You can do it with strategies and have a much more lucrative handyman business without all those people that are just baggage weighing you down. So now we live this life of adventure and fun. Last weekend, we went jeeping on the dunes in South Texas. So, I mean, we have this amazing life that other people just dream of now. And we work with people who want for us, not from us. Huge wake-up call with Handyman Business Fundamentals. And there's a few of the people that we've helped with Handyman Business Fundamentals that they've been able to build their handyman businesses to multiple figures over the last year. And after 10 years in business, I've invested over $250,000 into my education. I discovered the hard way to do business, but now we do it the easy way with Handyman Business Fundamentals. So if you would like more information about Handyman Business Fundamentals, I'm going to go more into it a little bit tomorrow, but there is a different way to do business and have everything set up for you so that you can do business in a way that you have the certainty that you're taken care of. So with Handyman Business Fundamentals, what you get is this 12-month program of coaching and training. And all the videos are online. You don't have to go anywhere. You can watch them from the comfort of your home. There's about 40 hours of training that you get with Handyman Business Fundamentals on every aspect of your business: sales, marketing, financials, legal analysis. It is a $29,999 value. You also get the Handyman Ads Package, where I help you build ads for your handyman business over the next 12 months. It's a $6,999 value. You also get building of your Facebook and Google pages and learn how to utilize and blow those up online. You also get live coaching calls, an $11,999 value, and a Facebook community, which is priceless. So you get this value of $48,996. You're finally going to be able to put money into your marketing. You put $1 and $2 come back. Wouldn't it be worth it with Handyman Business Fundamentals? If you're able to scale your business quickly and get rid of that stupid tax and take decades and put them into days, would it be worth it to scale your handyman business? What if we took the guesswork out of building a business for you? Wouldn't it be worth it? Now, my first option was to make this super cheap and let everybody in, but that's not my target market. I don't want to deal with a bunch of Karens. My second option was to have the best of the best in the Handyman Business Fundamentals program. As a result, you will get... this is not an income guarantee. What you could do with Handyman Business Fundamentals is start getting jobs that are $585 a day if you price it on regular handyman prices throughout the states. You could get one successful job, or you could double your handyman staff, or you could add another crew. You could actually grow your business and make more profits. So the true cost is in action, not getting started in Handyman Business Fundamentals. Now you can see why this is a good value at $9,999 for the general public. But because you're on this 10X Handyman Hacking Challenge, you're not going to pay $9,999 for it. You're going to be able to apply now for Handyman Business Fundamentals at gmail.com. Just email me here and say, hey, Christy, I want to get started. And we'll do a quick phone interview to see if you're the ideal customer for Handyman Business Fundamentals. But what you need to do is email me right now and set up a call at handymanbizfundamentals@gmail.com. It's handymanbizfundamentals@gmail.com, and we'll get you set up with a phone call and get you taken care of with Handyman Business Fundamentals. So simple. So you have two options. You can do nothing and keep doing what you're doing, or you can get started and become hammer free and have freedom, flexibility, and big profits in your handyman services, in your handyman business. We do have a 30-day money-back guarantee, so if you're not 100% satisfied, So you'll be able to be hammer-free, not swinging the hammer. Other people are swinging the hammers. You're working on building the business. So what you're going to get is Handyman Business Fundamentals, a Handyman Ad Package, Facebook and Google page, support, live coaching calls, a community of Handyman, a total value of $48,996. Now, for the first 100 people to get started, you're also going to get a free 7-in-7 challenge, which is a $497 value. What you need to do right now is email me at handymanbusinessfundamentals@gmail.com to get started. You're going to get that $48,996 worth of value for only $4,999. How do you apply? Apply by emailing me and say, I'm ready to get started in my handyman business at handymanbizfundamentals@gmail.com. If you have any questions, let me know. But I did have a few questions that popped up over the last 24 hours from people that attended yesterday on Facebook and Zoom and YouTube and all that fun stuff. Here is the questions they ask. One, how do I get started? Email me at handymanbizfundamentals@gmail.com. We'll get you set up and started in your handyman business. You'll be able to launch that handyman business next week. How much experience do I need to get started in the handyman business? Absolutely no experience is needed to get started in the handyman business. We've talked about that for the last couple of days. What kind of licensing do you need to get started? When you get started with Handyman Business Fundamentals, we're going to hop on the phone. We're going to see where you're at. We're going to research the laws in your area and what you need to do to get started in the handyman business. And then the last one, how much money can I make? It's up to you. You can make $0 in the handyman business, and then the sky's the limit. So it's totally up to you. So we've answered all of those questions. Now what you need to do is go to handymanbusinessfundamentals@gmail.com to get started. I'm Christy Ogle with 10X Handyman Hacking Live, and we just finished day 2. What's your homework?
Thank you for joining us. Look forward to day number 3 later this week. Have an amazing day. And to get started with Handyman Business Fundamentals, go to handymanbizfundamentals@gmail.com.